Hello, welcome to The Lore You Know, a show where we chat with some amazing human beings who are storytellers, collectors, and folklorists as we discuss the history of, inspiration behind, and importance of recording and sharing regional tales. And today I have with me artist Jonathan Addy. Thank you so much for coming.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
First and foremost, people should be familiar with your work if they're following Monster Fest, because you made an amazing poster.
Yeah, Seth, I've been a fan of Seth's work, for the longest time, and then was just trying to figure out how I could do a little bit more with the STM crew, and luckily enough, we kind of share a lot of similar pasts, as far as I'm from Ohio originally, I started going to school when I was little in Minerva, actually.
Okay.
There's a lot of, and then I got to hang out with him and Courtney in Maslin. I didn't know they lived in Maslin, and that's where I went to high school, in Maslin, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Awesome. So there's a lot of connections, and then plus my love for this whole weird thing that we share. And he said, if you'd love to do something for this next year, he said, by all means. So it was an honor. It was great. A lot of fun.
Yeah. That's really awesome. That's cool that you have roots here. Where are you now?
I live in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. So nice and sunny.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Minerva.
You're in Minerva too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So Minerva, that was the first school I attended and went all the way up to fourth grade. And then we moved away from Minerva and then ended up back in Stark County. Stark County kind of sandwiches some uncertainties in my life that I went through. So it's always been a very special place. And then the fact that Monster Fest last year was in Canton, I was like, well, I have to go. I have to do this. And I was not prepared. I had no idea it was going to be so unbelievable. So this year, my studio is an absolute wreck. it's only April getting ready for this. So I'm super excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into what is coming for Jonathan Addy here at Monster Fest. You have a pretty big project in the works.
Yes, I do. So I'm going to be showcasing a lot more art than I did last year. I had a small table, and just the standard table, but yeah. I didn't know. I'm like, the first festival, like, there might be a handful of people there. Like, I mean, I was blown away. And after I left, I did very well there, but after I left, I started thinking, I'm definitely going to go next year. And then it turns out that here I am as, actually acting sponsor, because I wanted to have more space. And because I've got, as Shannon LeGros, who, contributed to part of this project for me, as she said, I'm ready to wave the freak flag. it's going to be a lot of my art, a lot of stories, a lot of storytelling. But the biggest thing is a journal that I'm launching. And this is the first issue of it. So I'm in the editing process now, and it's going to go to print in a couple of weeks and be ready to go up there. But if someone's at Monster Fest this year, they're going to be the first ones to see it. So no one's going to see it before. I'm releasing it that Saturday. So
that's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Oh, so why a journal? What made you want to go with that format?
So that's a great question, but I've always admired magazines. I love magazines. I have them laying all over my floor. Travel magazines, mostly art magazines, but I have always wanted to do my own. I've always wanted to put together my own, but I'm not a writer and I don't pretend to be. So I thought, well, I've never really seen like a straight up art magazine. But I also didn't want it to be a magazine at the same time. So I don't know. There's a lot of people still aren't familiar with the terms zine yet. Some people say Zines, but zine. Yeah. So that's essentially what this is. And so what I thought was, I'm going to find a place to house the 25 years of work that I've been doing, because I've been a professional illustrator and designer for 25 years now. And so I just want to release it, and I want it to have a nice home. So this was just an idea. I thought, well, okay, I'm going to have issue number one. And then what are some of my favorite things? And so one of the thoughts was, I want to have a place where each issue is going to be different and tackle mm-hmm. different topics, because I'm all over the map with my interests. But one of them, and one of the biggest ones, is, you know, the paranormal and the cryptid and UAP, UFO, whatever we're calling it today. Changes every day. But so I thought, what better place to do it than the place that I still call home, you know, in Stark County, and I growing up in the shadows of Canton, and living in, you know, in your end in Minerva, and the other end in Maslin, and then all my family's in Navarre, and, you know, just Stark County's home. So I thought, this is the perfect place to do it. And I have plenty of pieces, of great pieces I'm proud of, to put together a first solid issue about just the strange. So issue number one is just going to be what everybody is going to show up there loves, which is just the weird, which is what we all are. So
sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and you mentioned that was a winded. Yeah.
No, that's great. So you mentioned that Shannon LeGros is involved. Are there other people involved as well that from the world of weird?
So there is, and I wanted to Shannon, I reached out to, because I've been a fan of everyone. Last year I was geeking out when I had a table and I couldn't leave it, but I left it often enough where the point where I'm like, if somebody steals my work, I don't even care, because I have to go meet Scott and Forrest. I have to meet Shane. Right. I have to meet Seth. It was just Lyle Blackburn, all of these people. But actually, the foreword for the book, or for this issue, is done by Micah Hanks. Yeah. So I reached out to him, and I thought, well, if there's anybody that can talk about what the weirdness of our country, that, because again, the project is called United States of Illustration. So that's the name of the journal. So if there's anybody that can talk about, well, the United States is a beautiful place, there's all these great things, but then there's some dark roads, there's some deep forests, there's some deep lakes, it's him, because I've never heard anybody speak as well as he does. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. I could listen to him for hours and hours, but he was kind enough to submit. And it's a really, he said, I'm sorry if it's too long. And I said, no, this took my project from here and then elevated. But yeah. And then Shannon, of course, she provided some content, and that's ultimately the goal of this, is I don't want this to be just me. I want to feature other people. That was the idea of it. But to start, no one's really going to jump off a limb and be like, oh yeah, I'll send something to this guy I've never heard of, and this issue that probably won't work. But luckily, I built enough relationships from Monster Fest last year that everybody was like, this sounds great. And I told Seth about it, and he's been following my work, and then replied back and said, man, I think you've got something here. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. So with the different pieces of art, you said you've been doing this for 25 years. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite pieces? And it doesn't have to be necessarily cryptid related, but what are some of your favorite things that you've worked on over the years?
Well, so the cryptid's always been an interest of mine, but I've not really taken that. I've not really gone down that road heavily until recently. One of the things I've never wanted to do, and I've done for a long time, was to box myself in as an artist. Like, I have no problems with, I'm not, you know, I don't mean to downplay what anybody does, but I've spent a lot of time just focusing on one particular topic. And I'm going to spend years doing this. Well, you have, that's great. And you'll always have that one said audience. But then the second you release something that's completely different from what people have seen you do, they lose their minds. Like, wait a minute, this is a Bigfoot poster? You've been doing beautiful travel, imagery and things like that. So that's what this project really started. Really, really resonates with me because I love so many things. I love sports. I'm super passionate about sports. I'm super passionate about the strange and the weird and the cryptid. I'm super passionate about travel, music, just culture, everything. My head just, I want to put down my thoughts on everything that I love. And so I was like, well, what is the one thing that all of this has in common? And it was, it's all in our country. So I was like, well, somebody out there has, I'm not that smart. Somebody out there has done the United States of illustration. And sure enough, everything was available. The webs, the domain name, the Instagram. So I was like, taking it, and this is going to be my new thing now. So as far as favorite pieces, I spent 7 years. I spent 7 years documenting a neighborhood in Miami called Little Havana. And I have a book that is actually for sale down there. I'm going back again next weekend. But it's just the Cuban culture and their food and their backgrounds, their stories. And it's about 180 page book that, I'm super proud of. And my high point was I got to present it a couple years ago to Gloria Estefan in person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was, But so that's been one of my favorite projects. But as far as pieces go, I love to see something. And for example, you mentioned the poster I did for STM. Mm-hmm. So anybody who, I'm not giving anything away. I'm sure people have seen it, but Bigfoot, like we all talk about Bigfoot. I listen to Bigfoot podcasts on a daily basis. I love the whole concept of it. I love the guys who are beating the ground out in the bush, doing the thing, trying to find this thing. Something I can't do just because of I'm adulting, full-time job and children, you understand. Yeah. But I'm so envious of them. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I want to think about what Bigfoot thinks of us, So it's sort of, he's holding a coffee mug that says, I believe in humans, right. it's an illustration I created of a hiker on a mountain. But I just love any chance where I can take something that might seem so mundane and so normal for the average person and just add a flavor to it where somebody might say, oh, I never thought about that. I never, mm-hmm. When I looked at that, I've looked at this forever, but now there's something a little different to it. So, but as far as the pieces go, that's something I can't answer because I'm currently at about 2,300 illustrations.
Wow.
That I've created. I catalog everything. And I think the latest count was right around in the ballpark of 2,300. But it's everything from surfing, which I also love, to New York City, to Miami, to the Rocky Mountains. I have too many interests. This is why I don't sleep at night. I'm awake half the night, like going, I should do this next. But
I understand. Now, of all of these places, are these places that you've traveled or places that you hope to see someday?
So that's the main focus of this project. You actually said it. This project is basically a long story short is the me traveling the United States vicariously through my art and my creativity, because I have been to a lot of these places. Yes, I mean I'm back and forth to South Florida, and I've been New York and Southern California and places like that. But it's rare. And it's rare because I've got a full-time job. It's rare because I have two children. You know, it's rare because they also have sports and they have, you know, their life and they have everything. And then it's just rare in general because it comes down to money. It comes down to time away, adult responsibilities. So I thought, well, why should that stop me? So a lot of the places, a lot of the illustrations I've done, I've never been to. But the beauty of it is I can spend enough time doing research online to find some really great pieces that inspire me because I'm inspired. I can't drive to the grocery store without finding something that inspires me. So that was, you know, so yeah, some of them I've been to, some of them I've not. I've had some backlash on that where it's like, well, this guy's creating something and doesn't know anything about it. Well, guess what? No, I've never went hunting for Bigfoot. I've never seen, well, I think I've seen a UFO off our coast, but that's for another time. But, I don't claim to be an author. I don't claim to be a researcher. I don't claim to be, you know, I don't claim to do any of this. I'm an artist. And so I understand that side of the argument, but at the same time, it's like, I'm just here to make people look at something that's pretty and make them think twice about, oh, I never thought of it that way. That's what I do. So that's what this is all about. And again, I'm hoping to, when I introduce this in Canton, I'm hoping that I'll be able to, I think I have enough that's going to be at this table that I think I'm going to be able to let people know, hey, you know what, you're here for Monster Fest, which means you have a love for, no one's just going to come out and pay money and come to an event that they don't have any interest in. But I guarantee you a lot of these people have other interests, just like we all do. So they might pick up this first issue and go, this is really cool. But guess what? The second issue that's going to release in December, because I'm starting with two a year, hoping I can go up to three. But the second issue, if you decide to subscribe, buckle up, because you might get something that you don't, you know, that you're not interested in. But I think that's another beauty of it is I love to tell people about things that they don't know. I love to teach people about things that they don't know that I might be interested in, you know, and vice versa. I love to listen to stories. I could sit and listen to people tell stories all day of a topic I don't care about because it's passionate. I love passionate people. That's sorry. That was again.
No, you don't need to apologize at all.
I talked.
No, this is great. You're doing great. So of the places that you've illustrated, but you haven't yet visited, are there some that you just, whenever the time is right and you have the money, you've got the means, you got the time, where are some places that you really would like to visit?
I have to see Area 51. I have to see just the desert. I've flown over the desert and I've never been. And it is, the desert fascinates me more than probably anywhere in this country. And I'm such the nerd that I already have a playlist ready for what I'm going to listen to when I land in Vegas and get my rental car and drive up the extraterrestrial highway. But the Pacific Northwest, and Alaska. I want to see. I have not stopped watching Alex's stuff. I've not stopped watching his publication, or not, I say publication, I'm looking at mine right now, but I haven't stopped watching his documentaries because it's just so fascinating. Those three would be top, 100% top three. I want to see the desert and I want to see what the most remote corner of Alaska looks like, if I can handle it. I mean, I don't do cold anymore.
Yeah. That makes sense. That might be tough with Alaska. No, just go up in the summer. You got it.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And even then I'll probably still shiver because your blood warms out when you move to a place like this. It thins out quick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a while, my brother lived in South Carolina, and when he'd come home to visit, he was just shivering all the time.
My uncle sends me pictures all the time that lives in Western Stark County, but he sends me pictures all the time. You guys buried in snow, and I'm like, Oh, I don't miss that. I mean, I do, but I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you probably don't miss driving in it. That's the part that's not fun.
Being an adult in it. I went to college in Pittsburgh and still didn't have a car there, and, you know, buried in snow. And ever since then, I've not lived in a place where I've had to have one of those commutes, and I wouldn't do well, I don't think, but
yeah, I understand. Yeah. So you've had the interest in the strange and the weird for a while now. What was the first story that like really caught your attention? And how old were you?
So I lived in Grafton, West Virginia for, so after Minerva, we moved to Grafton, West Virginia. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but again, another small town.
Yeah.
I've outside of a very little stint in a suburb of Nashville, Tennessee, I've always lived in small town America. And so, I mean, what, Minerva's 3,000 or 4,000 population. Like Grafton, probably. West Virginia's I think it's just a little north of 5,000, but everywhere I've ever lived has been small town, and there's always stories. That's another thing that another thing that just pulled me towards small town monsters is just that whole idea. But then Minerva, I'm like, I wish I would have known about that when I was a kid, but
right.
But, yeah, so in Grafton, I lived in a really, really, really haunted house, straight up legit. Like, and anybody who's ever lived in it, it's still in my family, not my family, but my cousin still owns it. Anybody who's ever spent any amount of time in there has the same stories. And I saw things that I didn't know how to process. And this was 4th, 5th, 6th grade. Mm-hmm. So that's when it started, because I'm like, that girl just ran down the hall. That wasn't my sister, you know?
Right.
And then my dog wouldn't walk down the hall at night downstairs because he would get halfway down and just back up slowly growling. This house was just bananas. And it's hard for anybody to really believe that, except for your audience. I think I could, and you, but, I told Shannon all about this. I was actually on her show, and the episode was called House of Nope, because she just kept saying nope, nope, nope. But it was a mess. My dad was a minister, and he and my mom separated when they lived in Minerva. And so when we moved to Grafton, he ended up meeting, when he met my stepmother, they were going to get married, but still the minister thing, they wouldn't live in the same house, you know?
Right. So
one night we're across town and my dad wakes us up and says, hey, we got to go get some clothes on. It was the middle of the night, and we left and went over there and stayed as a family with my stepmother, because she called him and said, there's a man standing at the end of my bed.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That started the whole thing for me. And that's not been the only, has not been the only paranormal story. Like, I don't have any, I've never seen anything in the woods. I don't get to the woods that often anymore as an adult. We don't have woods here. I'm like, well, we do, but you know, I'm not going out of them, because down here it's like, what's going to kill me? Poisonous snakes and boars and alligators. There's one in my backyard right now, by the way. He's about 10 foot long. He's just laying out there right now, sunbathing. But That's a nope for me. But I have gone through a lot. I have actually had more experiences than I think a lot of people have. Never seen anything weird in the wild, no cryptid, anything like that. But that experience in Grafton kind of opened my eyes early on as like, I'm not imagining this. My sister wasn't imagining this. My dad, who is a minister, wouldn't have told a lie if his life depended on it. My little sweet stepmother, my cousin was in the Marines. He was 23 hours on a plane to get back, a trip. And he sits down on his couch downstairs, and all of a sudden the footsteps, everything started happening again. And he just stood up and started screaming. He goes, no, I've been in Iraq for 6 months. I've been fighting a war. I've seen so much. He was like, I don't need you right now. Stop. Like it. So the stories are real. And so that altered my life. That changed the course of like me accepting all of this, because I will never hear someone say that they believe in something. And I'll never be the person that says, oh, that's crazy, because I've been told that. I get the eye roll anytime I mention living in a house that was haunted. So it started then for me. And I got into, after that, it was like horror movies. And that was the late 80s, early 90s, when the horror movies were like all the rage and they were really good, you know, not as disturbing as now. It was just like slash people up kind of horror movies. But so I've always been interested in it, but I never knew there was a group of people out there until recently that actually liked art based on that. So, and people were asking me last year, like, we really love your work. What else do you have that's related to why we're here? And I was like, I didn't prepare for this. I don't think anybody wants to buy at Monster Fest, wants to buy a picture of a woman on a beach, you know, an illustration of a woman on a beach. But if I put Bigfoot surfing in the background, we might be onto something.
So I'm really interested in this house. I'm going to have to listen to Shannon's episode now, The House of Nope, you say. What were some of the other things that happened in that house?
Oh, it was so bizarre. I can remember once we moved in, things got really, really awkward. For me personally, I had two stepbrothers for, you know, the marriage. And at the top of the steps, this is one of those old West Virginia houses. And, you know, and you've probably been to West Virginia, I'm guessing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, just very old. Grafton's a really old town. It has that heavy feeling when you're there anyway, of like, there's more to this place. And so we lived on a street called Washington Street. And at the time, there were only three houses on that street, and George Washington stayed in one of those three houses.
Oh, wow.
So flip a coin. It could have been ours. I don't know, but that was our little claim to fame. But once we moved in, I think whatever was there, because it was a family, I did see running behind the house one day, there was a brick wall that, there was a path only about, you know, 3 or 4 feet wide behind the house, and then a brick wall that went up and then straight up the mountain. And so we'd run back and forth through there. And I was running through one day and I thought it was my stepmother was doing dishes because there was a window there. And I was like, oh, and I backed up to wave to her, and it wasn't my stepmother. I've never seen this woman in my life, but then she just gone. But my stepbrother and I, the steps were straight up, old wooden, very narrow. My stepbrother and I would sleep at the top of the steps, or our room was at the top of the steps, and we had bunk beds. And it was probably once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, that middle of the night you'd hear somebody walking up the steps. And it was just that boom, 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 walking slowly up it. And one of the two of us would wake up first and then wake up the other one. I was on top bunk. He was on the bottom. Most of the times he's punching, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Going, John, you hear this? And I was like, yeah. And we just wait. And we just wait for it and walk around a little bit. And then sometimes it would just start going back down. And then it would get further away. The radio would come on from time to time. The little radios back in the day with the antenna you had to pull out. Like, it would just come on at any point. We had a basement that was the most terrifying. I haven't lived there. I mean, we left there when I was in a freshman in high school. I haven't been there since. And I still have nightmares about that basement. Because when you walk down these wooden steps, the last two steps were missing. So you had to jump. Was that balloons?
That's really weird. I have never seen that before.
Okay, I guess you can edit that out.
That was really weird.
My hands are here. I thought you did.
No, I don't know. I don't even know that. I didn't know you could do that here.
I haven't touched my laptop. I'm sitting in one of those old wooden school desks from the 1950s.
Yeah.
Nowhere
so
near my.
So for those who are listening and not watching, what just happened was that across John's screen were a bunch of balloons that just popped up out of nowhere, like an animation of balloons, which I didn't even know that you could do on StreamYard. So that was weird.
What did I say that would have triggered that?
I don't know. You were talking about the bottom two steps being missing.
Missing, and then you could jump off of them. I'm trying to do it again. You could jump off the bottom two steps and land on the dirt floor of the basement.
That's so weird.
Okay. Annie, I'm sorry about that.
That's the first time that's happened.
Actually, you might want to leave that in because that might be funny for the viewers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and it was dirt floor, dirt walls, dirt ceiling. Like it was a dirt basement. Okay. Like it wasn't redone. And there was this was around the time of Nightmare on Elm Street. And there was a furnace down there. And then there was one of the walls, there was a hole in the wall that about the shape of a brick. Where did that hole go? We used to.
Right.
My friends would stay over and have sleepovers, and we would dare each other in the middle of the night. I dare you go down there and put your hand in that hole. You know, like it was. And then, of course, my stepbrothers were hunters. And so deer season rolls around, you know, right after Thanksgiving in West Virginia. And they'd get a buck, and that's where they'd take the buck to hang it, you know, let the blood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine walking down the steps and seeing a deer hanging from, you know, it was stuff made in nightmares, but the whole town is just, it's dark. It's a great town, but it's just weird. It's a weird place. Yeah. I don't need to say it's a weird place because my friends are going to listen to this and, you know, get angry that I said Grafton's a weird place. It's just a spooky train yards and old abandoned buildings. And yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there. Only heard of it because of the Grafton Monster, but not. Been there.
I have my print right here. If you've ever looked them up on Instagram or Facebook, that's my art.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm bringing that one. It's framed. It's actually laying right here. I'm bringing that one to Monster Fest too. So yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so you experienced all this stuff, and it didn't, with some people, it would dissuade them from this entire thing. They would want to just close it off and not have anything to do with it for the rest of their lives. But instead, it became one of your passions, and that's pretty cool.
Well, it did push me away from it for a while.
Okay.
No, it did. This is very within what I'm doing right now is just only a few years old, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, birthday's next weekend and I'm going to be 48. And I'm like, I'm just getting back into this because I'm finding out now it's stuff you never wanted to talk about because most people don't either. They just don't want to hear it or they don't accept it or they just think you're crazy. It's anybody, it's any of these guys, it's all these guys who are, you know, doing research on UAP and Bigfoot and all that. You live in a specific, like you live in this little bubble of people. Outside of that bubble are people who want to pop that bubble and just tell you you're insane. And so I let it go. And then I started listening to the first podcast I came across was Astonishing Legends, Scott and Forrest. And then they immediately, I started hearing about everything else. And now it's like, I don't know the last time I've driven a long distance and listened to music. It's just, and then when I got into yours and it was like, and it's just, it's all newer for me, but it was so fascinating because I'm like, I have some stories, some things happened to me and there's a group of people out there that I could actually talk to. And that was one of the reasons that brought me up last year to the festival. So, no, but it did. I just forgot about it. When we left Grafton, that's when we moved to Tennessee, and that didn't last very long. And then we moved back to Ohio. We moved all the time, as my dad being a minister. But yeah, when I just kind of forgot about it all. And then college in Pittsburgh, had a couple of experiences there, because we were in a really, really old dorm downtown Pittsburgh, and it was super creepy event that happened, like super weird, that I've only probably shared with a handful of people in my life, because even those people don't even believe what happened. But again, more another ghostly kind of thing, and not I've not been out in the woods enough to have any kind of really cool experience. Right. But again, that's why I'm like, okay, well, I can't, because I'm in my studio, I work, I've got all these responsibilities, but I hear these stories and I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna do a piece based around that. So
yeah,
it's been a lot of fun, and it's brought me back to thinking about all of these things. Like when I was on, when I was talking to Shannon, she said, you got to come on the show. She said, because she goes like, that house sounds insane. And I'm like, yeah, but no one's going to believe me. And she's like, my audience will.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I can't even imagine if you had forgotten about things when you left, and then you had experiences again when you were older in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. was there a situation like, not again? I mean, did you have this moment of, oh, I was really hoping to avoid this?
Honestly, no, it was the opposite. I think it brought, because, and not to get dark or not to get weird on your show, but it's like my parents separated, and it was, it was not a pleasant thing for,
right.
It's never a pleasant thing, but for somebody that young. And so it was like, you bury so many memories when things like that happen. You bury so many feelings and things like that. So when what happened in Pittsburgh, which actually made me not be an RA anymore for the summer programs, because I was like, no more of this. but then I started, then I thought about that house again. And then just in the last like 5 or 6 years, my cousin who owns it, he still lives in Grafton, owns a company, very successful business guy. And he doesn't live in the house, but he owns it and rents it out. And we started getting together again recently and reconnecting. And we've gone on a few, our families would meet somewhere in the, in Appalachia. Cause it's kind of like a 4 hours for them, 4 hours for us sort of thing.
Right.
And get a Airbnb out in the woods and, out in a cabin or something. And I brought it up to him one time. I said, Alex, you got to tell my wife about this, because I don't think she believes me. And, and even his kids, they lived there when his kids were really little. And I forget their youngest daughter, or no, their only daughter, but she had a name for the guy she saw, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's not like you not making it up, but I think what it did was, it actually, rather than I can't believe this is happening again, I don't want any part of it, I think it was the opposite. And I think it made me feel, it gave me a connection back to, a very important time in my life. So thank you, ghost, whoever sent that balloon.
Yeah. Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's wild. Is he able to keep renters in the place, or does he have issues keeping people at the house?
No. So he used it as his office for a while. When he was starting his company, he used it as the office. And then, I think he has renters now, but he didn't when I went back to visit. I think this was about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. It was the first time I'd been back since. And I told him, I said, can I please go see the house? And he's like, yeah. He said, yeah, sure. And he took me over and he's like, go ahead, walk through it. And I walked in, and I know people are going to go, no, but it felt like a pile of bricks on my chest the second he opened the door. When I walked in, it was almost like a suffocating, like, I got to go. I think I have to get out of here kind of thing. Like it felt heavy again. Because the room, I remember you walking in the house in the room on the right, we always called the cold room. It was just a kind of like a glorified Florida room or whatever they call it, every state has a different name for them. But, yeah. And I spent like my summers trying to beat Mario, you know, and Legend of Zelda and stuff like that in there. But the temperature would drop in a second and it would drop 15 degrees in that room. And as soon as it did, you'd go, here we go. We're going to hear something. Something's coming.
Yeah.
It was, so we called it the cold room. Just get the blankets out. They've never heard us before. I don't think they're evil. They just want to say, hey, listen, we live here too. Yeah.
Right.
It brought back a lot of memories. I think it had the opposite effect on me. I really do.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you go to the basement when you went back to visit?
No. If I bought that house, because I'd love to have a place up there somewhere, but if I bought that house, I would probably fill that basement in with concrete. I don't know. I just, or I'd hire people to go down there and just rip the whole thing out and make it like a family room with carpet. I don't know. No, that basement was, right. I still have nightmares about it. I did like 2 weeks ago again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty nasty.
Oh man. So at the end of every show, I always ask my guests to tell me a story of some sort, which we've been sharing stories back and forth. But do you have a personal story, whether it's creepy, spooky, odd, weird, that you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience? And just tell me a story.
Okay. So, I'll just tell you about what happened in college.
Awesome. And,
I was a resident RA for a summer program, and they were college or high school kids that would come for like a 2 week stay and take in classes, whatever. And I was already a student, so I was like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, you make some extra money, and basically they're gone all day. You're gone all day with class. You just have to make sure you do a head count at the end of the night and that kind of thing, and try to keep them in their rooms. So there was one particular night that a girl came down and knocked on my door, and she just didn't look right. And, and I was like, trying to ask her, and she shook it off. She's like, I don't want to talk. You know what? Never mind. So my job is to walk them back and make sure that they go into the room and not go find, a boy or another girl or whatever.
Right.
And she went in, and I walked all the way back down the hall and was about to go in, and I heard a scream, and I turned around. And I was like, well, that's not good. Like, I don't know where it came from. And a door opened. One of the girls came out and said, it came from this room. And that was the room I just walked this girl back into. And so I said, open the door, go check on her, because I'm going to call the head RA. I was just a floor RA. And so they were like, she was like, it's locked. So I called the RA and I said, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on, but can you come up here? So I ran down trying to open the door. This could go on for an hour, but I'll just go like a quick bullet points was, we finally got an RA up there and they opened the door. It was a female RA, because we weren't going to, we weren't going to go in there. And she opened the door, and it was a small room. And she wasn't in there. And it turns out she was in the bathroom in the tub, like laying in the tub with the, it looks like she had fallen backwards and pulled the shower curtain down as she fell. And she's just shaking and she's not telling anybody anything. She's not even really talking. So we follow protocol and get people up there. They take her to, to find out medical, and everyone's thinking, oh, it's drugs. It's it's probably drugs, or alcohol, or somebody slipped something in there. And long story short is she was talking about, she was ready to go home. She wasn't going to stay for the rest of the program, but she was talking about a man and how he was motioning her to wear a necklace in her room. And so we were like, well, that's, she's obviously hallucinating. But when they went back to clean out her room, they found hanging outside of the window on the outdoor latch was a necklace. Mm. And the windows were bolted shut. No one could open wow. them. So here's right. Here's the kicker, 14th floor.
Whoa.
Yeah. So scratch your head on that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. They got a technician up there. He opened the door. He opened the windows, was able to open the window. Not a technician, but whoever was on staff for that. And sure enough, there was a necklace hanging there. And you can't stand out there.
Right, exactly.
The windows are bolted shut. You can't open them because you're college students, you know, and you don't know. I mean, 14th floor, you know, in a downtown setting like that. But there was my little fun.
Wow. So she saw this thing in her room?
Guy? He was outside of her window, she said.
Oh, he was outside the window. Oh.
Holding a necklace up, wanting her to wear this necklace, motioning for her.
Oh, my.
And you can't be. It's 14th floor.
Yeah.
But
wow.
But that building alone was absolutely terrifying. There mm-hmm. were with the, you know, the exposed pipes, like in rooms where it's like on the ceiling and they'll come down the side. Yeah. Every now and then you'd hear like a tap coming down mm-hmm. that pipe slowly and getting closer to your head laying in the bed. And you're like, light on.
That's enough. That's enough.
It was a hotel, I guess. It was a hotel in the 30s and 30s and 40s. And there was a lot of stuff that went on in that hotel. So clearly haunted. But yeah, that was my fun story that I could share with everybody. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that you came on the show today. Would you please let everybody know where they can find you and follow your work?
So absolutely. And I'm so excited to be on your show because I've listened, I've binge listened to it, the episodes, but the website is not live yet, but it will be mm-hmm. by the time Monster Fest rolls around. But I am on Instagram and it's at the US of illustration is what it is.
Okay.
Awesome. And I'm posting daily, like little teasers, things like that. Just not even about Monster Fest, just about all the work that I have, because it's not all monster related, but mm-hmm. I'm just really, it's so new that I'm just hoping that I can find some people who are interested enough to follow along. And then, you know, my goal there is to maybe find a few people that, you know, a few subscribers, people that might want to, you know, check this out and enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed putting it together. So, and with Seth and the whole team, I gotta tell them thank you, and you for having me on. This is awesome. It really is so cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This has been a wonderful show. As always, if you have anything that you want to message me about, you can email me heather@smalltownmonsters.com. Otherwise, again, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It was a great time. I loved it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Awesome. And for the rest of you, until next time.
Presented by the Small Town Monsters Broadcasting Network. You can find out more about this and other network shows, as well as Small Town Monsters films, books, and Monster Fest 2 at smalltownmonsters.com.